Welcome to Day 13 of My Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are reading from the Amplified Bible, and we are beginning at Job chapter 35, verse 1. We will read through the end of Job 37. Job 35, starting at verse 1. Elihu spoke further to Job and said, "Do you think this is your right? Or are you saying, 'My righteousness is more than God's'? That you ask, 'What advantage have you? How am I profited more than if I had sinned?' I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the skies, which are higher than you. If you have sinned, how does that affect God? And if your transgressions are multiplied, what have you done to him? If you are righteous, what do you, by that, give God? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness touches and affects a man such as you are, and your righteousness is for yourself, one of the human race, but it cannot touch God who is above such influence. Because of the multitudes of oppressions, the people cry out. They cry for help because of the violence of the mighty. But no one says, 'Where is God my maker, who gives songs of rejoicing in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?' The people cry out because of the pride of evil men, but he does not answer. Surely God will refuse to answer the cry which is vanity, vain and empty, instead of abiding trust. Neither will the Almighty regard it. How much less, when missing his righteous judgment on earth, you say that you do not see him, that your cause is before him and you are waiting for him. But now, because God is not speedily punished in his anger and seems to be unaware of the wrong and the oppression of which a person is guilty, Job uselessly opens his mouth and multiplies words without knowledge, drawing the worthless conclusion that the righteous have no more advantage than the wicked." Chapter 36. Elihu proceeded and said, "Bear with me and wait a little longer, and I will show you, for I have something still to say on God's behalf. I will bring my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker, for truly my word shall not be false. He who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Behold, God is mighty, and yet despises no one, nor regards anything as trivial. He is mighty in power of understanding and heart. He does not prolong the life of the wicked, but gives the needy and afflicted their right. He withdraws not his eyes from the righteous, the upright in right standing with God, but he sets them forever with kings upon the throne, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters of adversity and held by cords of affliction, then he shows to them the true character of their deeds and their transgressions, that they have acted arrogantly with presumption and self-sufficiency. He also opens their ears to instruction and discipline and commands that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasantness and joy. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword of God's destructive judgments, and they shall die in ignorance of true knowledge. But the godless and profane in heart heap up anger at the divine discipline. They do not cry to him when he binds them with cords of affliction. They die in youth, and their life perishes among the unclean, those who are sodomites. He delivers the afflicted in their affliction and opens their ears to his voice in adversity. Indeed, God would have allured you out of the mouth of distress into a broad place where there is no situation of perplexity or privation, and that which would be set on your table would be full of fatness. But if you, Job, are filled with the judgment of the wicked, judgment and justice will keep hold on you. For let not wrath entice you into scorning chastisements, and let not the greatness of the ransom, the suffering, if rightly endured, turn you aside. Will your cry be sufficient to keep you from distress, or will all the force of your strength do it? Desire not the night when peoples are cut off from their places. Take heed, turn not to iniquity. For this, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission and affliction. Behold, God exalts and does loftily in his power. Who is a ruler or a teacher like him? Who has appointed God his way? Or who can say, you have done unrighteousness? Remember that by submission you magnify God's work of which men have sung. All men have looked upon God's work. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable, for he draws up the drops of water, which distill as rain from his vapor, which the skies pour down and drop abundantly upon the multitudes of mankind. Not only that, but can anyone understand the spreadings of the clouds or the thunderings of his pavilion? Behold, he spreads his lightning against the dark clouds and covers the roots of the sea. For by his clouds, God executes judgment upon the peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. His thunderings speak awesomely concerning him. The cattle are told of his coming storm. Chapter 37. Indeed, at his thunderings, my heart also trembles and leaps out of its place. Hear, O hear, the roar of his voice and the sound of rumbling that goes out of his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose, and his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, his voice roars. He thunders with the voice of his majesty, and he restrains not his lightnings against his adversaries when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise, he speaks to the showers and to the downpour of his mighty rains. God seals up, stops, brings to a standstill by severe weather the hand of every man. And now, under his seal, their hands are forced to inactivity, that all men whom he has made may know his doings, his sovereign power, and their subjection to it. Then the beasts go down into dens and remain in their lairs. Out of its chamber comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God ice is given, and the breath of the waters is frozen over. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. He scatters the cloud of his lightning, and it is turned round about by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them upon the face of the habitable earth, whether it be for correction or for his earth generally, or for his mercy and loving kindness, he causes it to come. Hear this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his storm cloud to shine? Do you know how the clouds are balanced and poised in the heavens? The wonderful works of him who is perfect in knowledge? Or why your garments are hot when he quiets the earth in sultry summer with the oppressive south wind? Can you, along with him, spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten mirror? Tell us, Job, with what words of man we may address such a being. We cannot state our case, because we are in the dark, in the presence of the unsearchable God. So shall it be told him that I wish to speak? If a man speaks, shall he be swallowed up? And now men cannot look upon the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. Golden brightness and splendor come out of the north. If men can scarcely look upon it, how much less upon the terrible splendor and majesty God has upon himself. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power, and to justice and plenteous righteousness he does no violence. He will disregard no right. Men, therefore, reverently fear him. He regards and respects not any who are wise in heart in their own understanding and conceit. This is the end of our Bible reading for today. In today's devotional, I want to focus on just one verse that we find in chapter 36 of Job. And Elihu is the speaker, and he's pointing out that Job had really made a wrong judgment of God and complained against the Lord. And he says in verse 21, "Take heed, turn not to iniquity, for this, the iniquity of complaining against God, you have chosen rather than submission in affliction." And he's talking about the fact that in the midst of Job's terrible trial that he's going through, instead of submitting his heart to the Lord in the midst of it and just saying, "Okay, God, I love you, I trust you, I'm going to just believe you until I'm out of this situation," he turned to a spirit of complaining against the Lord and calling God his enemy and saying God wasn't judging him rightly. And really well stated here in the Amplified Translation by calling it the iniquity of complaining against God. And I want to talk about that subject today because it's a common one that we see all around us and one that we can easily fall into ourselves. We often don't realize that complaining is such a serious spiritual situation. It's very serious. It is spoken of in the Word of God so many times, from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament. This issue of complaining or grumbling or murmuring, all words used in different translations of the Bible, are addressed quite directly. We find that in the Old Testament that the children of Israel got into a lot of trouble with the Lord because they complained against God when they were walking through the wilderness. They complained about their circumstances. They complained about the food they had, manna. They complained even about their leader, Moses. All of these were very serious things in the eyes of the Lord. And in fact, the scripture specifically says it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, the complaining, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them in the outskirts of the camp. That's from Numbers 11, verse 1. That's a serious thing. It says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So this issue of complaining against God, and many people would take exception. They'd say, "Well, I'm not complaining against God. I love God, but I'm just complaining about my boss, or I'm just complaining about our house payment, or whatever." And yet the reality is, whatever area of circumstance you're complaining about, indirectly, you are complaining against God. If you have called yourself a Christian and submitted your life to the Lord and said that God's your Lord or the leader, the boss of your life and circumstances, if that is true, if you would agree with that, then any complaining you may do, complaining against your spouse, your house, your money situation, or your job situation, it ends up in essence being complaint against God, as if God isn't good in your circumstances. So this is a serious matter that we need to seriously look into and consider our own life. And if you're beginning this at the beginning of a new year, it's a great time to, with the grace of God and by the help of God, purpose in your heart that this will be a year you're going to rid yourself of this sin of complaining. Complaining is a choice. That is something that we do. We can complain about the service we get in a restaurant, or we can smile, bless the person, and move on without saying a word. You don't know what kind of pressure that person was under. Maybe they gave you poor service if they're a waitress or waiter in a restaurant. You don't know if they just got terrible news and their treatment of you is really about something else that they're going through. So we can choose how we speak and how we think and the words that we use in our lives, and they're very important. So complaining is something that is displeasing to God and something that would be a good thing to rid yourself of because it opens the door to other problems. And if you think it's just a bad habit, I would actually challenge you and say it's not only a bad habit, it could be a literal spirit that's operating through you or an opening. It's a sin that has gotten a grip on you and then you have a tendency to do it continuously, and that will open the door to other sin, because complaining continually will open the door to discouragement, and discouragement to depression, depression to despair and hopelessness. So there's a root in complaining that can really take you down a path that's very, very destructive. You could say complaining gives place to the devil in your life. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he indicated that complaining actually will give like an open door to the devil in our lives, because the devil's a destroyer and he's always looking for legal ground to destroy. A believer who loves God, prays, trusts the Lord, stands on the word of God, should be standing in the protection of God. But if we open a door by giving legal access, right, to a thief to come into our house, we were the one that opened that door to the thief, then the results are partially our own fault. So it's the same with the enemy of our soul, the devil or Satan. And complaining is a spiritual problem. It's a sin in the eyes of God. And this scripture tells us that it will literally give us a place, or give a place to the destroyer. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, it talks about, it warns us not to give into this sin of complaining, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, of course, it's a reference back to the Israelites and how they, many of them died in the wilderness as a direct result of their complaining. And you can read about that in Numbers chapter 11 and through chapters 14. And they continuously complained, and they received a real judgment from the Lord for that. So we have to realize how serious a spiritual issue this is. I know people who literally cannot have a conversation without it including a complaint or criticism of some kind. Now that's a serious problem. If you can't have a conversation about anything without complaining, criticism, murmuring, grumbling, griping, whining, being involved in the conversation. If I ask you about your family or your work, if you say, well, and then you go on to complain about some condition you're experiencing in your workplace or in your home, then I would say you need to examine your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, because this is a problem that brings you more problems. Complaining only makes your problems magnified. So that is not something any of us would like, for sure. I would say that complaining is not something that the Word of God ever encourages. In fact, it discourages it completely. We find that the Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, specifically addresses this subject of complaining. And the Amplified Bible says it very well. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining. And the Amplified adds, against God. Wow. Do all things, do everything in your life, walk through your life, converse with other people, deal with people outside and inside your family, your home, your church, but do all of it without grumbling, without fault finding, without complaining against God. This is the admonition of Philippians 2:14, and this is the subject that Elihu brought up to Job, that he was guilty of this, that he was complaining against God. And we know that complaining drives out a spirit of thankfulness out of a person's life. There's no doubt. And the opposite is also true. A spirit of thankfulness, or a concerted effort to give thanks, to be grateful, to cultivate a spirit of gratitude, will drive out and displace a spirit of complaining. And if you have children and you are so tired of hearing them complain about everything from what you serve for dinner to the toys that they have or don't have, I would encourage you to assist them by cultivating a perspective of gratitude. By every single evening, have a time when you say it's our time to develop a grateful heart. So tell me three things that you're thankful for in your life. And all of the family gets involved in this. And every day they have to think of something different. And you can really drive out a spirit of ungratefulness and a spirit of complaining and murmuring and grumbling by cultivating a grateful heart in your home. And I encourage you, parents, be very watchful. If you don't want your children to be complainers, grumblers, murmurers, critics, criticizing their siblings or you as parents, then you watch your own mouth and listen to your own conversation. Do they hear you when you come home from work complain about the boss, complain about the coworkers, and they just pick up the same spirit? Maybe you need to repent to them and say, forgive us. We have given you a wrong example, and we're repenting to the Lord and to you for complaining. We ask you to forgive us. We ask God to forgive us. And together we are going to make a commitment to God that we are going to be a family that has a grateful spirit, that has a spirit of gratitude, that our household is filled with thankfulness. This will change the complexion, the atmosphere of your home. And so this is a powerful thing and an important thing for us as Christians. For Christians, there's no place in our lives for complaining when the Word of God clearly says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God. One other thing that's pointed out in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, is that unthankfulness, or you could say the opposite, complaining, ingratitude, is a mark of spiritual decline. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 2, talks about that in the last days, difficult times will come, and men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. And ungrateful people are the most likely to complain. They're ungrateful. They're not thankful for what they have. So their response to that is to complain about their circumstances. We don't want to find ourselves in a place of spiritual decline. If you feel like you've spiritually declined in recent years, I would say do a complaint check. Have you fallen into that spirit of complaining, mumbling, fault finding? Then ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to cleanse you of that. Ask the Lord to help you to get yourself on a new path of thankfulness, gratitude, praise. That will drive out that spirit of complaining. God wants us to pursue the cultivation of a grateful heart, which is the opposite of a spirit of complaining. That is, I really believe, that one of Satan's favorite devices or strategies against Christians is to get them into this habit of complaining, because it puts them in a place of unbelief. Because honestly, the truth of the matter is that if you are complaining against God, then you have slipped into a place of unbelief. It's unbelief towards God's order in your life, God's plan for your life. And if you are in that place, you need to come to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive you. Because Moses himself told the children of Israel, your complaints aren't against us. When they were complaining against the leadership of Moses and Aaron, Your complaints aren't against us, but they're against the Lord. And that's the truth when you are complaining about your circumstance. Don't let unbelief get a grip on your life, because it's unbelief in God's word, which says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And if you believe the word of God, then even a circumstance you might be going through, God is able to work it out for good in the end. But it will not go that way if you fall into Job's trap that he fell into, beginning to complain against God in his circumstance. That had to change before his circumstance changed. And as we will see as we get toward the end of this book, that did occur. So put a stop right now to complaining in your life, in your family, and put yourself on the path of thanking the Lord for working things out in your life. Thank Him for His faithfulness. Thank Him for the fact that He is good and He loves you, and that He is able and desiring to turn things around in your life that are not going in a direction that would be God's will for you. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness and eradicate a spirit of complaining, and you will see this new year transform before your very eyes, and it will be radically different from the year you had before if you were in that pattern of complaining. God bless you, and ask the Lord for grace to help you, and let's make this a complaint-free year.